It's crazy, isn't it? Like the speed of AI development these
Oh,
days.
absolutely.
It seems like every week something new pops up that was pure science fiction just a little while ago.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, all this mind-blowing progress is really built on just raw processing power.
It is, yeah.
That's where NVIDIA's been making huge waves for a while now, right?
Right.
And this latest announcement of theirs, the Blackwell architecture, this seems like a really significant leap forward, not just like a small step, but a real game changer.
It certainly seems that way from what we've seen so far. Yeah, there's been a lot of buzz around Blackwell. We've been keeping a close eye on it. And what they officially unveiled does point to a pretty big evolution in how they're approaching the demands of, this really advanced AI that we're seeing. The demands are just getting bigger and bigger.
Exactly. So for this deep dive, that's exactly what we're going to be unpacking with you. We really want to understand what makes this Blackwell architecture tick, why it's generating so much excitement, and probably the most important thing, the key differences between the two main chips they've announced.
Right.
Thankfully, we've got some excellent resources that give us a pretty detailed look under the hood.
Yeah, we do.
So let's dive right in. We're talking about the B200 and the B100. Those are the main players here.
Yeah, those are the ones to watch. And understanding those differences between them, the nuances, I think that's going to be crucial for everyone to really grasp what NVIDIA's vision is here and what kind of impact this could have on, the future of AI in general, how we develop it, how we deploy it. It's all connected.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's jump right into it. When we talk about Blackwell architecture, what's the big picture?
Okay, so think of Blackwell as NVIDIA's next-gen engine,
Okay.
but specifically designed for their AI GPUs. It's the successor to the Hopper architecture, and you probably know Hopper's been powering a lot of the cutting-edge AI and machine learning that we see today. It's been the workhorse, really.
It has, yeah.
But the fundamental goal with Blackwell, I think, is to provide a significant boost to the raw computational power that's needed. And not just for today's AI, but tomorrow's as well. I mean, the workloads are becoming increasingly demanding. We're talking massive language models, intricate scientific simulations, and things even beyond that. That's the kind of heavy lifting that Blackwell's built for. It's all about enabling bigger, more capable AI models and drastically cutting down the time it takes to train them.
And I noticed this time around, it's not just a single flagship chip.
Right.
That's a key difference from previous launches, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You're right on the money there. Unlike some of their other major architectural launches in the past, NVIDIA's come out with two primary chips right from the start, based on Blackwell, of course,
Right.
B200 and the B100. And I think this dual launch is really interesting. It's suggestive. It kind of hints at them going for a more segmented market approach,
It does.
which, makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah. So let's zoom in on the B200 first.
Okay.
This one's been getting a lot of attention. It's
Yeah.
being described as like the ultimate performance beast.
It is.
What sets it apart? What makes this the top dog?
Well, I think it's safe to say NVIDIA is positioning the B200 as their no holds barred top tier offering.
Yeah.
The absolute best they can do. It's really engineered for organizations that need the absolute highest compute performance, period. And for these companies, cost is less of a factor than achieving that level of
I
performance.
see, I see.
So who are we talking about? Well, primarily, it's the hyperscale cloud providers, the
Yeah.
big names like Google, Amazon, Microsoft. These are the folks on the front lines of building and training those massive AI models, the really complex ones. And for them, access to this level of processing power, it's not a luxury. It's basic infrastructure. It's absolutely essential to what they're trying to achieve.
And when we talk about highest possible performance, what are we really looking at here? I mean, some reports have mentioned some truly mind-boggling leaps.
The numbers they're throwing around are pretty impressive, even for NVIDIA. They're suggesting the B200 could potentially double the compute performance of Hopper
Wow.
for certain key AI workloads. That's a huge jump. And they're also really emphasizing the significantly enhanced memory bandwidth.
Right. Memory bandwidth. Now, that's a term we hear a lot in this world, but explain why that's so crucial in AI for those who might not be as familiar.
Sure. So in AI, you're constantly feeding huge amounts of data to the processors. Think of the processing cores like workers, and the memory bandwidth is like the highway they use to get that data. If the highway is too narrow, the workers are just stuck waiting no matter how fast they are.
That's a great analogy. I like that.
Increased bandwidth means a much smoother, much faster flow of data to those powerful processing units. No bottlenecks, maximum efficiency.
So double the performance, vastly improved data flow. This sounds like a potential paradigm shift.
Yeah.
I know in your notes you had a really compelling analogy. You compared the B200 to a Bugatti Chiron.
Oh, yeah.
The Bugatti Chiron of AI GPUs. Can you unpack that for us a bit?
I thought that analogy really fit because the Chiron is like the pinnacle of automotive engineering. It's all about speed, performance, and yeah, pretty hefty price tag to go with it.
Right, right.
The B200, in a way, it's similar. It's built for maximum performance, pushing the limits of what's possible. And just like you wouldn't use a Chiron for your daily commute, the B200 is really for those super demanding AI tests where you absolutely need every ounce of performance, cost be damned.
Makes sense, yeah.
The potential impact here is massive, though. This kind of power could allow researchers to tackle data sets and model complexities that were just impossible before. We're talking significantly faster training cycles and the possibility of solving problems that were previously considered unsolvable. And it's not just about speed. It's about opening up entirely new possibilities in AI, new model architectures, real-time processing of incredibly large data sets, things we can't even imagine yet. And for those hyperscalers, this could be huge. New revenue streams, a complete change in how they deliver their AI-powered services.
So that's the B200, the undisputed champ.
Okay.
Let's shift gears now and talk about the B100.
Okay.
You described it as a more accessible high performer. That phrase really jumped out at me.
It did, yeah.
How does it fit into NVIDIA's strategy here?
I think the B100 is a really smart strategic move by NVIDIA.
Okay.
They're acknowledging that, yes, there's a segment of the market that absolutely demands the bleeding edge, the best of the best, no matter what it costs. But there's a much larger segment out there that still needs really powerful AI capabilities.
Right.
But they're operating under, you know, more realistic budget constraints. I like to use the analogy of a Porsche 911.
Okay.
It's still a high-performance machine, a top-tier sports car, but it's more attainable than, say, a Bugatti. The B100 is kind of like that. It's that more accessible entry point into the Blackwell generation. It still offers a substantial performance boost over the previous Hopper generation, but without the, shall we say, eye-watering price tag of the B200.
When you say accessible, though, I want to be clear. We're not talking about some entry-level chip here, right?
No, not at all. It's important to understand that accessible in this context doesn't mean weak or underpowered.
Right, right.
The B100 still benefits from all the core advancements of the Blackwell architecture. It's not a different architecture, just maybe a different configuration, maybe scaled back in some areas compared to the B200. So maybe fewer transistors, slightly lower clock speeds, maybe a bit less memory bandwidth compared to its big brother.
I see.
But for a lot of companies, a lot of research institutions that are serious about AI but have to be more budget conscious, the B100 could be the perfect fit, the sweet spot between performance and cost effectiveness. It lets them tap into the Blackwell advancements without needing the absolute extreme capabilities and the extreme price of the B200.
That makes a lot of sense. So when we put the B200 and the B100 side by side, what are the really key differentiating factors for someone trying to choose between them?
Well, as we've been talking about, it really comes down to performance and the cost that goes along with it. The B200 is all about that no-compromise, top-of-the-line performance. It's for pushing boundaries, and it's assuming you have the resources to do that.
Right.
The B100, on the other hand, is trying to bring a good chunk of that Blackwell-level performance to a wider audience, striking a balance between power and affordability.
Okay.
A very high level of performance, but still within reach for more organizations.
I know you had another analogy in your notes about this, comparing the B200 to a V12 engine and the B100 to a high-performance V8.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Can you break that down for us in the context of these chips?
Okay, so imagine the B200 is like a massive V12 engine, pure raw power,
okay,
guzzles gas, but built for speed and force. For certain AI tasks, you need that V12 power, no question. Now, the B100, it's like a high-performance V8, still incredibly potent, capable of amazing performance,
right,
more than enough for most demanding tasks, but probably more efficient, more practical for a wider range of uses.
And probably less expensive to run, I imagine.
Exactly. So while you might need that VTOL power of the B200 to really push the limits, the V8 capabilities of the B100 are going to be more than enough for a lot of AI workloads and at a potentially much more manageable cost.
It sounds like NVIDIA is making a conscious effort to segment the market more clearly with these two distinct chips.
They are.
What's the thinking behind that, do you think?
It's a really interesting shift. They're almost taking a page from other industries, like the car industry, offering different trim levels, but for the same underlying technology, the Blackwell architecture.
I see.
So by launching both the B200 and the B100 at the same time, They can cater to both ends of the high-performance AI market. They recognize that not everyone needs or can afford the absolute top-of-the-line chip. The B100 gives them a way to reach a much larger customer base.
Smart move, I guess.
Very smart. They're covering more ground this way, addressing a wider range of needs and budgets.
Okay, we've got a good handle on the two main chips. Now let's zoom out a bit and look at the bigger picture.
Okay.
How significant is the leap from the previous generation, Hopper, to this new Blackwell architecture? Are we talking about incremental improvements, or is this a more fundamental shift?
All signs point to Blackwell being a pretty substantial generational leap, not just small tweaks. NVIDIA is making some big claims about the performance improvements, and the technology underneath seems to back that up.
So it's not just hype.
No, not at all. This is a brand new architecture designed from the ground up for modern and future AI. They've significantly increased the transistor density, meaning more processing power in the same amount of space, which usually means better performance and better energy efficiency. Plus, as we discussed, the enhanced memory bandwidth capabilities. Combine all that, and you're looking at a real jump in computing power compared to Hopper.
So for someone using Hopper GPUs right now, what's the big draw of switching to Blackwell? What are the real tangible benefits they could see?
Imagine potentially cutting your model training times in half.
Wow.
Or being able to work with much larger, more complex models that your current hardware just can't handle. That's the promise of Blackwell.
That's huge.
It's not just about speed either. It's about opening up new possibilities, more ambitious projects, pushing the boundaries of what's possible in AI research. It can mean faster iterations, experimenting with more complex models, accelerating innovation.
So looking ahead, what does the arrival of Blackwell in both its forms really mean for the future of AI workloads in general?
Well, if we step back and look at the big picture, I think Blackwell, both the B200 and the B100, are a clear signal that the progress we've seen in AI hardware, it's not slowing down. It might even be speeding up.
Interesting.
We're talking about a huge influx of AI compute power into the hands of researchers and developers.
Right.
And that has the potential to fuel some really transformative projects. Think about breakthroughs in natural language processing. Imagine AI that's even more sophisticated, nuanced, human-like in its interactions.
That's almost a little scary when you think about it.
It is, a bit, but it's also incredibly exciting. And then there's computer vision. Advances there could lead to more capable self-driving cars, more applications for image and video analysis. And in scientific computing, this processing power could lead to new discoveries in fields like drug discovery, material science, climate modeling, astrophysics, all sorts of things.
It really does feel like we're on the cusp of something big.
We are, and we might see AI being used in more and more everyday applications, from self-driving tech to personalized medicine.
So to wrap it all up, what would you say is the most important takeaway from our deep dive into NVIDIA's Blackwell architecture?
I think the key takeaway is that Blackwell, with the launch of the B200 and the B100, is a really significant leap forward for AI GPUs. This isn't just an upgrade, it's a whole new generation.
Right.
And it promises big performance gains for a wide range of AI work, letting people tackle more ambitious projects and innovate faster.
And to reiterate, the key difference between the B200 and the B100 really comes down to finding that balance between top-tier performance and broader accessibility.
Exactly. The B200 is for those who need the absolute best, while the B100 aims to make a good chunk of that Blackwell performance available to a larger market. But both chips have the potential to be real drivers of innovation in AI.
It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
With this kind of power becoming available, it really makes you wonder, what totally new AI applications might we see?
Oh, absolutely.
Things we haven't even thought of yet. That's definitely something to think about, even after this deep dive. Thanks for breaking it all down for us.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.